Praise the Lord. Is God good? Who said all the time? Raise your hand. I want to see your faces. Do you guys believe that? Well, I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. God is good all the time. You know, I use this example a lot, so I'll use it again just to get started. You know, on the most turbulent day of the worst weather or temperature or whatever you want to say is bad on the earth, if you just get above the clouds, the sun is shining 100% of the time. It's the tribulation, the turbulence that gets in the way of us realizing that the sun is never stopping, it's never dimming, it never has an issue, it is constant. So is the goodness of God. So is his favor that's on us. So is his attention is always on us. And so I want to talk today about God. Is that all right? Amen. Let's talk about him today in a good way, shall we? So there were a lot of people, and Abraham was one of them, who was called a friend of God. You can see it in Romans chapter 4. And Abraham was called a friend of God. Why? Because he believed God. God gave Abraham a promise, and even though it was a ridiculous promise, at 100 years old, he was going to sire a son. Ridiculous. His wife, right up there with him, going to have a baby. She laughed when she heard it. It's like, some of you would too. Hasu, if he just says, oh, I'm going to give you another child. Oh, yeah? Vivian, how about that? Amen. Some of you go, that's not a blessing, that's a curse. Hallelujah. You got to have a lot of energy to have a child, boy, at 100 years old. So she kind of laughed, that kind of ha kind of a laugh, you know. But Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, God accounted that belief as righteousness, that Abraham was righteous and became a friend of God. Who else in the Bible do you think about that was known as a friend of God? How about Moses? Wasn't Moses a friend of God? He was in the wilderness. He turned aside. He went and saw that sight, got in the presence of God, and then decided to remain there. And he went and got everybody and delivered them and went through all the trials and tribulations, coming to God. How do I do this? How do you want me to do this? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. How do you want me to get this done? And he kept coming to God. And even so much so that they did the tent of meetings where the presence of God would come, and Moses and who else? Joshua were there in the presence of God. And even when Moses left and had to go take care of the children of Egypt, or Israel came out of Egypt, when he went to take care of Joshua, what? Did what? He stayed in that tent in with the presence of God. So much so that when they went into the promised land, Joshua was the one. Because he is so familiar with God that he led them into the new land and destroyed all the enemies that were before them. And those that had their land already kept and fought with everybody else so that the whole lump would be saved. They were the friends of God. Who else were friends of God? Yep. How about David? David is a great one. The Bible says that David had a heart after God. You know, and we can try to make that all spiritual and all those things, but here's the thing. His heart was for God. David messed up royally. Abraham messed up royally. Moses messed up royally. And they were friends of God. You know what? That's good news. That gives us hope. Hallelujah. That means we could be friends of God also, if you'd like to be. How about the disciples? Jesus says, I call you friends. Not servants, friends. If you do the things I tell you to do. And his affection was on his disciples. And I guarantee you, they're all friends because the 12 foundational stones of heaven have their names written on it. That's how important they were to that relationship that they built with Jesus. You know, you and I can be a friend of God. He wants that above everything else. He would rather that you spend time with him than anything else you can name. To him, that's the most important thing. How about Mary and Martha? Remember them? Mary and Martha were two sisters. One had a type A personality, and one had a type Z personality. Okay? Mary was busy, 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 taking care of the food, cleaning the house, doing all things, serving the Lord, making sure everything was ready so he had a good time in her presence. Martha, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus and just listening to him talk to her, just enjoying his company. And he said that Martha chose the good thing, is to be in his presence. Can you kind of get a feeling for what God values? FaceTime. And I don't mean on your phone. People value FaceTime on your phone, but God values you personally. Do you know, he deliberately created each and every one of us. He knew us before the foundation of the world. Don't ask me how that's true. God's God. He deliberately wanted you now at this time on the earth. He knew what you'd go through. The Bible says that in your book, all the pages were written before you were born. Your whole life. God knew what you would choose. You know, you kind of go that free will versus destiny, and God knows all things, and he wrote all the things in your life on the book already. How can that be so? This is how I reconcile it. God sees everything always, all at the same time. Past, present, future. He's outside of time. He created time. So time is less than God. It's a created thing. So he lives outside of all of that. You and I, we live on a linear line. We had a beginning, and we're going to go. Our body will have an end, but you will continue on into everlasting life. Okay? So we can't comprehend not existing because we exist. So what we do is God knew all the choices you could possibly make within the whole sphere of the life that you could possibly live on this earth. Any choice you would make, anything you would do, anyone that would interact with you, it's all, he can see the whole loop of it. So that way you have free will to make all your choices. You choose whatever you'd like, good, bad, indifferent. He sees it all. And your choices are there, and mine are over here, and yours is right there, and yours are over there. And he can see all the choices and how they all intermingle and the whole thing. So he can see past, present, and future and everything. Therefore, he knew how to weave it like a tapestry all together. He didn't need you when Jesus walked on the earth. He needs you now. He really needs you in this time now. Because you can do what you can do. I can't do what you can do, but you can do what you can do. The type of person you are in the sphere that you live in is the most effective person in that sphere, especially if you're awake to the Holy Spirit. If you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then whatever he asks you to do, you can hear him. You can feel the movement of God. You can see the pictures. You can have the unction or the inspiration, the flow moving through your body. But it takes us wanting to be in the presence of God. It takes us wanting to be a friend of God. It's the most valuable thing to him. I've got verses for all these things, but I just feel like I just need to share right now a little bit. and just really connect with you. Because, like I said, we're in serious times. We're not in perilous times. We're just at the birth pains. We're at the very, very beginning of the stages of it. But, oh, a delivery will come. Jesus will come. So I want to let you know, each and every one of us are going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to give an account for what we did in our bodies. Every day of your life, every breath you've ever taken, it's all going to be known for everybody. We're all going to see it. You're all going to see mine. I'm going to see yours. The counsels of our hearts are going to be revealed. All the mysteries inside of us are going to be made public in heaven. We're all going to be open and naked before him. And so he looks at the whole life. And the ones that are given to him are the ones that are most pleasing. Does he love all of us? Absolutely, we're his kids. But here's the thing. Right now is when you're going to get to shine the brightest. You're going to really get to shine. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. So any of us take half-heartedness, more caught up in earning a living and taking care of my four and no more, it's time that something is stirring inside of people. That's called the Holy Spirit. And people are starting to recognize that, wait a minute, all these movies, they've just been programming me my whole life. All this political arena, I can't trust them. What's going on with all this stuff, all this technology and all this stuff? It's all fake. It's all fabricated. You can't tell what's real and not real anymore because it's all coming through electronic devices. And our hearts are waking up to a nourishment that we need something more than what we've had. The blinders have been taken off. The hearts have been woken up. And now it's time for us to come out of a stupor and really see what's going on around us. I'll confess first, 3 years ago, I was believing God, pressing in, confessing the word, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, waiting for the glory to come. It never crossed my mind the troubles that we'd have to walk through for that to take place. It never crossed my mind. How many times do we read verses in the Bible? Debbie, I'm going to make you chase one down right now. If you can go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And, you know, I never put two and two together. Did you all? Did you put it together that troubles have to come for things for us to really shine, for us to really see what we're made of? I didn't. Oh, there she's got it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace which we stand, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Do you have more than that up there or just those? Yeah, I actually want 3 and 4. Sorry about that. I'll get it in my Bible. Go to 3 if you can get there. All right. If you got your Bibles out, go ahead and grab them. You got it? Okay. And not only that, but we also glory in what? Knowing that produce, which is the word hupomene, which is consistency or endurance. Verse 4. And perseverance, what? Character and character, hope. The hope that we all have in the Lord. So these troubles, these troubling times that we're going through right now, is for us to actually get stronger. James 1, you know it very well. James 1 says that when we stumble or when we fall, I'm just paraphrasing it, when these troubles come to us, it's for the testing of our faith. It's for us to see what we're made of. What do we really believe? How exciting is that? That's pretty exciting, I think. You know what? Do I like to go through it? No. God always thinks I'm done way after I think I'm done. I think I'm done way before he does. My goose gets cooked early. But he goes, no. There's a deeper work I need to do inside of you. There's more to you than just this little bit. Let's go deeper. Amen. All right, so get your Bibles out. We're going to look at a couple of verses. So let me ask you. God's a spirit, right? And those who worship him must worship him how? And in truth. So if God is a spirit, see, I don't even need to put these verses up. You guys have them memorized. If God is a spirit, how can we interact with an invisible spirit? If we're flesh and blood on the earth, how do we interact with an invisible spirit? Huh? There you guys go. Yes. Gold star. We have a body. But once we're born again, we're spiritual beings. You and I are actually spiritual beings. So the inner person, the invisible person, the hidden person of the inside of you, the one that nobody can see that you talk to, you know the one that while my mouth is flapping here, I'm on the inside saying something else, whatever it is. We talk to ourselves inside of ourselves. That person is the real me. That's the real you. And that's the person that God wants to line up with him. Not this physical flesh, but the invisible person of the heart. So if God's a spirit, how do we interact with him? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. We'll read through 14. Okay, it's up on the screen. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This is saying in the Old Testament that none of us can know. None of us can know. And that's how people used to believe. You can't know the mind of God. You can't know what's going on in God. You can't know it. But you know your friends, don't you? Don't you kind of know your friends? Don't you kind of know what they're going through and you can kind of pick up signals from them? Sure you can. So same with God. But God has revealed them to us. How? Right, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, praise the Lord, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by him. Stop there on 12. So how do you know what God's got for you? We just read it. His Spirit talking to your spirit. We took a moment at the end of worship and we just stopped, opened up our hearts, got in before the Lord, let what was in us flow into him, let him receive what was in us. We can receive what's in him, hear him, see, feel, be inspired, flow. That right there is very important. We have to take our times and really, really pay attention to what God's telling you. Really, honestly, connect with him. Because as things are happening now in the world, this is where you really get to be led by God. How many of y'all do the survival thing? Y'all stocked up with food. Don't feel like you have to raise your hand if you don't want anybody to know you got all the food stacked up. And the guns and the artillery and the antibiotics, you know, and landmines planted in your front yard and backyard. You know, I don't want to know if you got all that stuff. Some people build bunkers. They have a big hole in the ground. I always wondered if somebody knew where the air comes into that bunker, they can poison you and nobody'd ever know. You're right there in your own tomb, you know? It's like some people are into all of that stuff because they're worried about what? Their natural flesh and blood body. So I walk down my neighborhood and I look at all the houses and I go, I wonder who the first one that tries to come into my house is going to get shot. See, and which one of my neighbors I'm going to take out first? Just kidding. Just kidding. But people think that way, don't they? They store up everything because they're so concerned that their flesh would suffer or die. But I have a different point of view. First, if I'm not in good fellowship with God, I'm coming to your house. Second, okay, nobody caught that? Nobody caught that. All right, you got it. Secondly, how about God just picking me up and translating me to a place that he has already provided to take care of me? He would do that for his friends. He would. He'd just pick you right up and set you somewhere else. Why? Because he can. Enoch spent so much time fellowshipping with God that God couldn't turn him loose and decided to just take him and be with him full time. Elijah, he was so obedient to God. If you read what Elijah, with a J, went through, lived through to get the relationship that he had with God, you and I wouldn't want to do this stuff. But he was taken up in the wind. And then Elisha, because he was so dedicated to Elijah, that no matter what, even when Elijah was saying, get out, go, don't go, I'm going to go here, you stay here. No, I'm coming, no matter what, I'm coming. No, you stay, no, I'm coming. He wouldn't turn him loose. And he got, what did he get? A double portion. Because he's committed to the relationship. Even in the New Testament, Peter, John, and James, they were in the inner circle. They were the ones that in the hubbub of everything. They were with Jesus the very, very most. They were attentive. They were with him. They were learning. They were pressing in with Jesus. And those are the three that Jesus made the head of the church. Why? Relationship. How much do you want to know God? How much do you really want to know Jesus? I was in Bible class. Boy, Lord. This is not what's in my notes, but this is the way I am. So, bless God. I was in Bible college, and I would lead these classes, and I would ask people this one question. And I'll ask you this question. Don't answer me. Just think. Tell me about the Jesus that you know. Don't quote verses. From the relationship that you have with Jesus yourself, what's his favorite color? What does he like to do? Don't just use some arbitrary thing you read in the Bible. From your relationship with Jesus, what does he like to do with you? When you talk to the Lord, what are his concerns? Does he share them with you? How about the Holy Spirit? How well do you know the Holy Spirit? He's a person. He's a person. I told this story before, and I'll tell you again just shortly that I was spending time because I've been taken to heaven. You know, I've had all these supernatural experiences. I've met the Lord face to face, all that kind of stuff. But I knew he initiated all of that and took me there. But I know that since we're born again, we can enter into the kingdom of God ourselves. So I was practicing entering the kingdom at home in my office as I was praising. I'd be demonstrative and praise and sing songs and raise my hand and tell God how good he was because I was working on exercising my spiritual senses so that I can perceive the things of God. And as I'm doing that, I finally sit down at the foot of the couch that I had in there, and just sit on the floor and just started praising him and just sharing from the depths of my heart. Not some spiritual yuha, but really what was in me. I started pouring out and talking to him. And the real stuff, instead of the, like, if I'm concerned on whether I'm pleasing him enough or if I'm being effective enough or whatever the things are that are inside of a person, this cloud started forming in my room. And as this cloud started forming in my room, Jesus walked in. And as he walked in, he grabbed my hand and pulled me up onto the cloud. And you know what? I just want to let you know, you're you and I'm me. And when you come in the presence of God, you're still going to be you, just the way you know that you are. And I am too. So the first thing I did when I stepped on the cloud was I went, it's firm. Yeah, I always wondered, you know, how did he floated away on a cloud? You know, it's firm. It really was. And then a lot of things happened, but I'll shorten it down to, he told me this is the beginning, this is the starting point of building a personal relationship with him personally, to really get to know him and to me approaching his throne room, me approaching him, instead of me expecting him to just do and rescue me and yank me out of the situation. We have our exercise senses, as it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, that we have to learn to exercise our senses to know good from evil. We have to take our spiritual walk very seriously now. It's time to lay it all down and really grow the most you can grow right now. So then Jesus says, I want to introduce you to somebody. Okay, I know Jesus. You know who I don't really know? Is the Father. I've never met him face to face. I've never really been able to speak to him that I'm aware of. I mean, I pray and I hear, but I don't know who it is I'm listening to. Do you guys? Are you able to discern the difference in their voices? Some people can. I can't yet. And so I thought, oh, he's going to introduce me to the Father. He's going to introduce me to the Father. And you know what he says? And he goes over, I'm facing him, and he goes to his left, and he goes, I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's standing right here. And he was there, and he wasn't there. And he was there, and he wasn't there. He was there, but he wasn't there. It was weird. He's there, but he's not. He's solid, but he's not. He's with me, but he's somewhere else too. I don't know how to explain it. That's just how it was with me. And I started crying. You know why? For the first time in my life, the words that the Holy Spirit is a person hit me. And I apologized. I asked for the forgiveness for all the times that I've ignored the Holy Spirit, all the times he's told me to do things and I didn't do it. For me, the things that I did in his presence that I was ashamed of, because he's always with me. Doesn't it say that God reveals the things of God through his Spirit that he put in me? And so I was really bummed out about all that. And I told the Holy Spirit, I was crying, I was telling him, I'm so sorry. You know what he said? He didn't even acknowledge it. He went straight to, I got so many things I want to show you. That was his attitude about the whole thing. See, we can get into the condemnation. We can get into our shortcomings. We can look at our flaws and our defects and what we don't have going that's right. We can look at that. Guess what? God doesn't. God loves us. He's always good. He's always kind. He always thinks well of us. He's always willing to bless. Our favor is always with His favor is always with us. He loves our company. He loves spending time with us. He loves when we talk to Him. He loves when we sing to Him. He loves when we are aware of His presence around us. He loves when we humble ourselves and actually care about the people around us. Whether it's at the grocery store, at our work, here at church, in our families, doesn't matter where it is. When we will humble ourselves and let the other person be more important. Oh, the Holy Spirit's right there when that's happening. He loves that. And we can all cultivate that. Let's go on from verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So for us to grow in the Spirit, one of the key factors is that the Holy Spirit teaches us. He is called a teacher, a comforter, right? So we have to be able to perceive the things of God to be taught by God. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, 14. But the natural man. Does it say, but the sinner, the unregenerate, the wicked, diabolical one? No. Just this natural person on the earth, in all of us, just the natural guy in us. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, what he's saying in all of that is that as we pray and listen and let him lead us, we grow and grow and grow through what? Starts with an F. It ends with a P. Yes! Give that woman a brownie. Fellowship. Fellowshipping with him. How many of y'all can do a little more fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? How many of y'all can do a little more fellowshipping with Jesus? How many of y'all can do a little more fellowshipping with God? Me too. All of it. All of it. But if one thing I've learned since I had COVID, and it took me 3 weeks to get over it, and it was kind of devastating for me, not as bad as some people, but for me, it was life-altering. It really made me think, and you guys can go back online and listen to what I taught on Thursday. It's, what do you do when your prayers seem unanswered? You know, when you're praying and you're believing God for something and you don't get the results you thought you wanted or that you were entitled to or what the Bible says that you should have? You know, and I went through all the verses that talk about how God answers prayer. And he does it immediately. Immediately. When you ask, he says yes. Absolutely says yes. So what's the rub between him saying yes and you saying, there it is? What's the difference between him saying yes and us saying, there it is? It's our receiving. We have to receive from the Spirit. We have to. Is this a sober message? Is it okay? Everybody's very still. And I'm very monotoned, it seems like. Oh, you're listening. Okay. Because I'm like thinking, am I like boring them to tears? My voice sounds so, ma, 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 ma. You know, like Charlie Brown's, wah, 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 wah. Okay, good. So you're with me on this. What was I just saying? Receiving, our receiver. So it says that if we receive it from the Spirit, by God's Spirit, then we have to be able to receive. We have to be able to pull it from the spiritual realm and bring it into the natural realm. And as I taught on Thursday, and you guys can check it out yourself, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed, and immediately when he prayed, God sent the angel Gabriel to give him, and he says he flew very fast so that he can get to Daniel by the evening meal. Okay, and he got there and answered Daniel's prayer. The very next chapter, Daniel prayed again. There must have been a lot of troubles going on back then. Oh yeah, people being burned, idols, all that kind of stuff. It was kind of serious. So he prayed the second time, at least in chapter 10. And you know, it took 3 weeks to get the answer to his prayer. Why? It said that God immediately answered Daniel the second time and the first time, immediately. And Gabriel was sent right away again, but the prince of Persia blocked him. So there was another angel. And this other angel blocked Daniel's from receiving his prayer. He blocked Gabriel from giving Daniel the answer to his prayer. And he was fighting with him for 3 weeks. And it took Michael, the archangel, to come in and aid Gabriel to overcome this demonic angel to bring the prayer and get answers to it. I always thought, is that still the same for today? Do we still have these angels, these dark spirits, these demonic influences that are hindering us from receiving the things from God? Do you know what? I'm just going to quote these scriptures just for time. But do you know, the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, to all of us who believe, he gave us the right to become sons of God. That word right is the word, it means authority, exousia. He gave us the authority to become sons of God. Do you know in Colossians chapter 2, when Jesus overcame the devil, he disarmed principalities and powers and made an open show of them, a spectacle? You remember that part? He took their authority away from them. So they still can operate through deception. They still have the power they had before. He didn't take the power away from them. So they can still interrupt. So what's the difference? You and I have to be awake. We have adversaries who are like a roaring lion seeking whom they may devour. Now you have the authority over them. There's nothing they can do if you don't let them. So they lie and they manipulate and they go off of ignorance and they steal what they can steal and take what they can take. And you and I have been given the authority to cast them out. We absolutely have authority over it. But we have to exercise that authority. In Hebrews, the Bible says that God is waiting for all things to put under his feet. Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it is. 1 or 2. And Jesus did that. He overcame the devil, the principalities and powers, and put them so that God can have this as his footstool. He says, but yet you and I, we don't see that yet. He's still waiting for you and me to put those guys down so that God can use them as his footstool. We still have to do our part and stand up against the things that come against us and subdue them. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Yeah, I wish I didn't have to do it, tell you the truth. I wish it was all easy peasy and everything's a piece of cake. But even in the tribulations, in the troubles, we are exposing what's really in our hearts. It exposes whether you're walking in authority or you're not. So here's the thing. I'll try to pull this all together in the next 4 minutes. I can do it. The more we spend time with God, whether you want to call him Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, or all three, however you spend time with him, the more that you press in to know him, he's knowable. He's knowable. But we have to press in to know him. And the more you know him and the more you spend time with him, you're under the covering of God and you don't have to deal with devils and troubles and things like that because you're under the cover. You're with him so closely that that stuff can't come near you. Just can't. You're impervious in those times. Absolutely impervious. However, it has been my experience and possibly yours that I don't spend all my time there. And when I don't spend my time in fellowship with him, I mean real friendship fellowship, when I don't, my mind drifts to the things of this world, to the natural man, and wham, I am vulnerable. Maybe some of you have experienced that. And you know, we need to stay vigilant. We really need to stay sober. And I don't mean don't drink alcohol. I mean be paying attention, keeping your mind clear and sharp. Because in these times, you're going to want that when you speak, your words accomplish what you say. You're going to want that when you ask, you receive what you ask for. You're going to want to see the manifestation of the answers of your prayers. Promise. So the Lord's heart is for you. Not us, you. Nobody else, not the husband, not the wife, not the children, not the parents, not the boss, you. Me. Say, his heart is for me. Say it again, I didn't get all of you. His heart is for me. God wants me to spend time with him. Really, to really build a friendship. They say to children, you guys probably know this very well, how do they spell love? T-I-M-E. God does the same thing. God does the very same thing. Let's really spend some time with the Lord, shall we? So I got 2 minutes. Everybody stand up. I just about said Jesus has been teaching on the kingdom of God, which is true, but it's been through Pastor Trey. You know, and if you've been here any length of time, you know that Pastor Trey is word, 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 word. And it's the Spirit and the Word have to agree. Word, 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 word. And we learned for a whole year about the Holy Spirit. Now all this week on the kingdom of God, we learned a message called Guarding Your Garden. That's a good one to listen to if you haven't heard it in a long time. And he's been really teaching us about the importance of what we've been given by the Holy Spirit and what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. So if you can, I want you to raise your hands. And let's just take a moment and be with the Lord again. I want you to close your eyes if you can and still be balanced, if you still feel okay. Say, Father, we just lift up our hands before you, Lord. Father, I just open my heart to you. Father, I ask you to cleanse me of anything in me that's not pleasing in your sight. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak clearly to me that I understand so that I can do the things you tell me to do. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me your righteousness, making me acceptable to God. Father, as I pray, I believe you that you answer my prayers immediately when I ask. Open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart so that I can know you more. It's my will to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.